Hello everybody, it's another episode of BitNote, where we'll be playing video game music and talking about the games that they're from. I hope you enjoy! So, I've got some good tracks lined up from the game's eversion and the recent fan mod Black Mesa Source. So, why don't we just start with eversion? Now, eversion is a fun little game. You download it from the internet. It does have a paid version online, but there's a free version which you download too. It looks like a small little indie game, you know, just something that some programmer out there programmed in his free time, and it kind of is. But unlike a huge amount of games that people program in their free time, this one is actually seems to have a good quality. You know, it seems to have decent graphics, the mechanics are simple, it's a simple platformer, and once you start up the game, you've got a nice little music that goes like this. So far, so good. Just a nice little upbeat music, and you look at the game and you've seen some screenshots, and it's got a nice lot of bright, colourful graphics of a little flower whose entire thing job is to rescue the princess at the end of the game. So far, so good, but you feel a little uncertain. For one thing, you know, rescuing a princess is just a little cliched. Is there going to be any twist to it? And more pressing on your mind, when you started the game, there was a sign on it that says not suitable for children or those of nervous disposition. You're getting a little unsure at this stage, but you figure, what the heck, it looks nice, and you play the first level. And for not time, your worries are allayed. You're bouncing, you're a nice little flower creature, it's simple 2D graphics, you're bouncing over all these little enemies, jumping around the place, and in the background, this nice little tune plays too. You get in sync and start jumping and bouncing away. So, you made it through the first level. You're pretty happy with yourself. The game seems just a tad cliched, but, you know, a lot of fun, bright and colourful, and jumping on top of enemies and everything. So you head into the next level, seeing how it goes, and then gradually you suddenly start to realise, as you go through the first part, that you can't seem to quite move any further. You're not quite sure what's going on, and then you suddenly find that there's this one place in the level where the music changes ever so slightly where you stand in it. So after trying to figure out where to go, you press in that you stand in that area, and then you press a specific button, and then you evert. Suddenly the world changes ever so slightly. The colors become less bright. The bright red enemies become something of a more darker, sinister red, and the music changes. You're not sure what quite's going on, but you keep going as the music continues on. Thank you. By this stage, you complete the level and are feeling a little creeped out. You've managed to, through various points in the level, you swap back and forth between the bright and colourful and the slightly darker world. And, you know, and even though the world is a little darker, it's not that bad. It's just slightly more subdued colours, a little creepier stuff. And, you know, as much, and you need to swap between the worlds in order to overcome obstacles, sometimes figuring out which world to swap into or where you can swap between the two worlds. But you're focusing onwards. While that you do have those brief moments where you're transported back to the bright and colourful world, you're still finding yourself in a slightly darker one. And then the next level comes. And then it gets worse. You suddenly find out that when you're going from the bright world deeper down to the darker one, you can still go yet another level deep. And then the music becomes, everything gets darker, starts falling apart. This is the music. Gradually, you keep playing, transverting between all these worlds until you keep. But each, the further you go, it seems you can evert deeper and deeper. Colors come darker, plants start dying, enemies start becoming more vicious, and you become very unsure of yourself. Pushing on through all these changes and the weird way that world changes around you, you're still a happy, colorful, bright little flower, but the world around you seems to decay, become more threatening, become more uncertain. Sooner or later, you keep going. You find another aversion place, another place where you can invert to a deeper layer, and you hesitate, not sure if you're really willing to go for it. But you decide to. And what you see only seems to be a prelude to the things to come. Continue onwards. The landscape shifts. You keep shifting with it. Sometimes you go back and find a small little brightness of what you remember from before, but inevitably you know in order to go further you must shift deeper and deeper into levels of aversion. The enemies change. Strange messages appear. Hands seem to come up from absolutely nowhere, and you're not sure. You're afraid. You're very, very afraid. Soon you hope to reach your goal, to find that princess and hope that everything will return to the happy, joyful world it once was, to justify everything, to make everything happy once again. But then, it gets worse. Eversion is a video game available on the PC platform. It is available for free on the developer's website at Zarathustra Productions, and also available on Steam, where, by paying, you can get a HD version with better graphics, which can be played on Windows, Mac, and hopefully soon, Linux. The music you have just heard was by Miro Milesevic, Matthew Steele, and others. So, how about we move on to the next game? And what you heard just there was a free game, actually. It was called Sega Swirl, released for the Sega Dreamcast and I believe on the PC as well. It was actually a fairly simple puzzle-esque game where the screen was filled up with a grid of all these different color swirls. They were all the same. They were all in the same shape as the original Sega logo. And essentially, by selecting them and clicking them, you made that swirl and all the swirls it was connected to disappear. And then all the swirls either above it or to the right would collapse into the space that's filled and fill it up. Now, the idea, of course, was that you're meant to select one and it was connected to as many other swirls of the same color as possible. And that way, you had to be a bit strategic about it. Sometimes you had to. You always wanted to remove as many swirls as possible in one go, and also try to make sure that after you've removed all these swirls, there were still enough swirls left around that you could remove all of them in one go. So, you know, it was a nice game of strategy, trying to figure out if I remove this one here, will it allow me to remove a lot more, and trying to be getting them all arranged in the right pattern. And essentially, it was a nice little fun game. It was released free. I remember getting it on the front cover of the Sega Dreamcast magazine, and it's just, and like I said, it was a nice little promotional game, and I always liked it when a games company who could like spend millions on a great big game budget was also willing to just put in a small bit, make a nice small fun simple game and have people enjoy it. Of course, a lot of it was brand promotion, since what you were doing was consistently looking at Sega Dreamcast logos, but still, I like it. So, in the last week or so, a game got released. It wasn't just any regular game, this was a game that was made by fans, and it wasn't based off of any regular concept. This is based on remaking one of the, some would consider, greatest games in history. I'll hit you with the music before I go into more details. What you have just heard was the theme tune of Black Mesa, a fan-made creation that's taken 7 years to make. Our story starts back in 1997, and Half-Life is released by the company Valve. I could go on into detail about it, how it received several Game of the Year awards or made a gigantic impact in terms of, you know, in terms of the narrative and interaction and vibrant environments in the world of video games and first-person shooters. But largely, instead, I'll just go to my own experience when I was playing it, and boy, it was gripping. You played as a scientist. You were going through a normal day's work a bit late, going through the labs, talking to scientists, until you were asked to throw this strange materials into this great big powerful analyzer. It seems innocent enough, although filled with foreboding, but then things go wrong. Badly, badly wrong, and suddenly you're racing through this gigantic, sprawling scientific facility, through everything from industrial areas to science labs, with aliens pouring in, causing destructions, things blowing up, military pouring in to shoot nearly everything in sight, and basically realizing that for some reason you've got to really help all what's possibly going to be the destruction of Earth, while at the same time trying to save your own hide and just manage to make it through. It's an extremely tense game that has many, many great moments to it, and launched Valve into being one of the great games companies that it is. It's just such a tense, thrilling experience. Now, of course, we all know what happens when a video game is hugely successful. A sequel is awaited for. So people wait for a sequel. And waited, and waited, and waited, and waited. And then it was announced. They said that it would be around in 6 months. This has been a long time by now. So, 18 months after that announcement, Half-Life 2 was released in 2004, 7 years after the original game had been released. Many people loved the new games for everything from the characters, the storyline, the gunplay, the experience. But one thing that honestly came up front and center was the game engine. Now I'm going to have to explain for a second how game engines work here. Essentially, a video game is a program. The program reads off all the characters, the weapons, the levels, the music from one part of the game and then converts it and basically simulates it. The program is basically a simulator, essentially. It simulates all elements of the game environment, how the light falls, how the enemies stumble forward, how you interact with your environment, everything. Now, Valve spent a huge amount of time in the intervening 7 years to improve the original game engine. I could go into detail, but put simply, it ended up having beautiful graphic effects, everything was more detailed, and of course it had actual physics, so you could like knock something over or throw things. I mean, actually, the physics was partially powered by an Irish company, Havoc, essentially, who specialised in this sort of stuff and made sure that they had all these physics in the game. So, like, Half-Life 2 was one of the real breakout companies for Half-Life 2's release was one of the real opportunities for Havoc and the great promotion of the Irish games technology in the global stage. But I mean, Half-Life 2 was like pushing forward with all these things with the physics, with the graphics and everything. And what Valve also did was they said, hey, since we got this great new powerful game engine, let's take a couple of our old games and do a redone version. So they did this with Counter-Strike, which is good, and they did this with Half-Life, which they called Half-Life Source. Now, the problem was Half-Life Source, despite being like the old Half-Life game but taken into the new engine, it didn't do a whole lot. It largely looked the same. There were a couple of graphical effects here and there. And so fans got together and decided to remake the entire game. They knew this wasn't a small task. They weren't just going to like take all the art that was in the original game, all the levels, and just pass it over to it so that it was in the new game engine. I mean, that was pretty much what Valve did with few exceptions, but they wanted to do it more. They wanted to recreate everything, recreate the levels so that they were in huge detail, recreate the enemies so that they were hugely detailed and everything, so that you'd be running through vibrant environments, so that the new powerful game engine could bring everything to life. I mean, just make everything bigger, better, greater in every possible way. It was a huge undertaking, especially for a bunch of fans, but they were committed to it. Things were getting serious. So, the development of Black Mesa started, an effort by fans to recreate one of the most successful games of all time in a completely new engine, completely remaking it and revamping it. Fans of the game people from all around the world got together, communicating with the internet, many of them not seeing each other's face, and many of them hobbyists or amateurs or people doing it in their spare time. They all got together, tried to network, tried to develop, tried to redevelop the game. It's amazing. Stuff like this can happen online. Sometimes disparate groups from so many different locations, only communicating through Skype online conversations and text messages and emails, can work together to create something great. But it doesn't happen that often, and most of the time they even break apart. But with Black Mesa, they kept together. They worked hard and hard for years and years. It's been 2004 since it was first released. In 2009, they had it. They even made releases. They ramped it up. They got hyped. But unfortunately, they had to make the announcement that it wasn't coming. And obviously, not everyone was that happy about it. So many people were hotly anticipating it. And so many times that were people just branded as vaporware. Or vaporware being a term for an ambitious project that keeps getting heard about but never actually released. But then, after many, many years of work, after 7 years of work, developing it, working, remaking it, the game was finally released on September 2012. Out of many things about the game, one of them was the soundtrack composed by Canadian Joel Nielsen. He'd been with the project for all the years, and as the project developed, he'd developed his own talent, his own skill to make a whole soundtrack. The music was played at key parts in the game, often at a chapter beginning, or right when something was about to happen, so that suddenly you'd be going along and the music would blare up and you'd just smash your way, work your way, shoot your way, just try to make your way through the game as all the music blasted in the background. And sometimes that music could be pretty damn intense. The tracks are named after various sections of the game. The last one I played was Forget About Freeman, and this one is called Questionable Ethics 1. It's played when you're running through a laboratory with a lot of unusual experiments going on and a lot of aliens and military men shooting in and causing as much chaos as possible that you just have to wade your way through. So, after all that, how did the game turn out? Actually, pretty damn well. I mean, everything is recreated. It actually is indistinguishable from a professional effort. All the models are full detailed. The environments are fully detailed. There's a lot of thought has gone into various sections. You just sat down, you played the freaking game, and you blasted through as Gordon freaking Freeman just making your way through. To be honest, the team are in a bit of an unfair position. They were emulating what's one of the greatest games that's out there, and it's going to have a huge amount of diehard fans who basically love the game, and even tiny changes to the game will just suddenly get their backs up. And to be honest, I'm kind of one of those people. I mean, the original Half-Life game was such a good game for me, such a damn experience, so vibrant. I mean, it's because the game even got fans like this that the Black Mesa was even possible in the first place. But while there were times I was like playing the game and instantly thinking back and analysing whether it was better or worse than the original game, I have to say that overall Black Source is an amazing game and just well worthy of your playing time. There's a huge amount of effort put in, and I absolutely love how they've reimagined various sections of the game. So we're coming to the end of our show now. If you'd like to listen to previous episodes of our show, just go to dublinsouthfm.ie, and there you can download the episodes and even subscribe to the podcast. There's also a Twitter account at BitNoteFM for various announcements. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.